Well, we're back here after a long hiatus, and we're continued to our pledge to run down the entire McCartney discography. And those of you who thought we were done, we're back and we're ready to go. So this week we're going to do Flowers in the Dirt. I just want to say hi to my partner on the other line. We've been gone for a while, like I said, so. How have you been doing, and do you have any news to share with us today?
I actually do have a bit of news. I was just looking up the website to see how long it's been since we recorded, and our last show was July 6th.
Wow.
So, yeah, we did take a bit of a break. I knew we'd be taking a couple weeks off. I didn't know it would be like a month and 10 days.
So what's your news?
According to the Paul McCartney Instagram feed, and also repeat it on Facebook, they're going to release two more albums in his archive collection, or whatever it's called. And the next two are going to be Tug of War and Pipes of Peace. So those are the next two that are going to get the remastered treatment.
Wow. Do we know the extra footage or extra songs yet? Or
I thought you saw a track list to it, but I haven't. I've kind of just been waiting for it to come out. And it's going to come out in October, so it's not that far away.
Yeah.
Early October. I think October 6th, but I don't know if that was a firm date or not.
But what is your feelings on these two albums getting the remastered treatment?
It's fine. I think he skipped, like you were pointing out, he skipped over a few albums that do need to be resurrected and people be reminded of.
Yeah, namely Back to the Egg, which we did several months ago now, it feels like. But we've talked in length about Pipes of Peace, so how do you feel about that album? I mean, does it deserve it?
I don't know, really. I guess it has to, just because it's a companion piece to Tug of War. But I kind of wish he'd just do them in order, instead of cherry-picking them like he's been doing.
Yeah, it's kind of strange, isn't it? How we just kind of move all over the gambit of his life, and now we're already into the 80s after the... What was the last one he did? Was it Wings Over America?
No, it wasn't that. It could have been Venus and Mars and...
Speed of Sound.
Speed of Sound, but I don't think so. No, actually, I take that back. I think it was. I think those are the last two. And you were saying that he intends to do all his albums. If he was just going to do select albums, then fine. But if you said he was going to remaster all of them, it seems strange that he's hopping around like that.
Yeah, it is very odd. But I look forward to hearing, well, he's got extra footage or songs he's got for Tug of War. I think that'll be kind of cool. Yeah. And we'll still be here when those albums come out. So we'll have maybe we'll do a opening segment about that down the road. You got anything else? Because it's been a long time.
I know you were keeping track of his live performances.
Yeah, I've got two little bits here I just want to share with you. Alice Cooper has announced a new album featuring a host of special A-list guests, including Paul McCartney, Dave Grohl, and Johnny Depp. Hollywood Vampires was devised by Cooper and actor Johnny Depp who recruited the likes of Slash, Brian Johnson, and Perry Farrell to cover songs by their dead friends and heroes. The album also features Joe Walsh, Robbie Krieger, Zach Starkey, Kip Winger, and includes renditions of songs by John Lennon, The Doors, Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, and The Who, Jimi Hendrix, T-Rex, and The Small Faces. The track, The Last Vampire, also features narration from Dracula star Christopher Lee. On the subject of Paul McCartney, Cooper admits that it was hard to keep cool in the studio, but that the down-to-earth McCartney helped keep things normal. Paul's a rocker. You know, if he wasn't in his band, he would be in a pub somewhere playing with a bunch of guys. He just loves to play. You look back and you go, Jesus, that guy's a Beatle. He wasn't a Beatle. He was the Beatle, you know? He wrote more songs than anybody and never has gone back on what he believes and what he does. You know, he's just one of the guys. He's just one of the guys in the band. So now when we see him, I go, vampire. He goes, I'm a vampire, but John was a vampire. John Lennon was one of our nightly guys. He was there every night. So that is the forthcoming Hollywood Vampires album to be released next month. How do you feel about that? It sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. Depends how much Johnny Depp has to do on it.
Apparently he's a good guitar player.
Does he sing with a British accent?
I'm sure he will. Other than that, while we were off, he played at Lollapalooza. Have you heard anything about that?
I saw some images from it on Instagram, but that's it.
Well, I've got a brief review here. Should I glow into it?
Sure.
Paul McCartney took the stage on the Samsung stage Friday night, half an hour before Chicago-bred Cass King performed at Perry's, which meant Sir Paul began to notice the insistent thumping coming from the north, and about right when he was making a heartfelt dedication of Here Today to John Lennon, McCartney started to play the song, then stopped.
Oh, by the way, you'll notice here we got like the disco going on over here. So I intended this. What I'm doing is kind of, it's like a crazy mashup, this song and whatever shit they're playing.
Granted, a quiet acoustic song isn't always the best choice for a big outdoor festival, though Blackbird, which immediately preceded Here Today, was pretty great. But McCartney wouldn't stay somber for long. The second half of the nearly 30-song set was wall-to-wall hits, particularly the stretch that went Obla Di Obla Da, Band on the Rung, Back in the USSR, Let It Be, Live and Let Die, and then closed out with Hey Jude before the encore. Live and Let Die in particular took the whole set up a few notches with pyro and fireworks. The crowd went ballistic. The sound bleed from Perry's was no longer an issue. And that's from the AV Club, of a review of McCartney's show last month as a headliner at the once alternative music festival, Lollapalooza. So there we are. That was a big deal last month. I think he did a cover of that song he wrote with that horrible guy we've talked about before, Kanye West. That song, 4 or 5 Seconds, he did, and then he bled it right into We Can Work It Out, and there's a clip on YouTube we should encourage you guys to go out and check out. It's kind of cool. And he does a lengthy intro to the song before he goes into it. That's cool. All right, well, Flowers in the Dirt, which was released on June 5th of 1989. It's the 8th studio album by Paul McCartney, and includes the successful single, My Brave Face. Your open introductory remarks, what'd you think?
I'm trying to remember why I got this album. I know I met this guy when I was at Spex Howard taking video classes. One of my classmates was a huge McCartney fan, and we got to talking, and he kind of resurrected my interest in McCartney. So it was probably because of that I got into this album. I don't know if I heard good things about it or not before I got it, but it's in the distant past. I can't even remember why I initially got this album.
Did you like it on your first listen, or do you not remember?
Yeah, I did. I did like it, and it sounds really good. It's got really good production values, and I like a lot of the songs. But then listening back to it just recently, there are a lot of songs on here that I don't like.
So really?
I'm kind of surprised why I have such a high regard for this album when maybe half of it are songs that I would skip.
Well, that explains your recent face at dinner a couple weeks ago. My introductory remarks are this. This is a great comeback album because this was his comeback album after the debacle of Press to Play as far as the critics were concerned. We've already covered it, and we both thought it may be a quiet entry into his discography, but it's very, very good. doing a lot of things different on that album. But this, he goes back to form, and I don't really think he's left this form since this album. He's pretty much been consistent with this type of sound, and it's worked well for him because every album after this has been pretty successful. I like this album, and I really, the only, I don't think there is any songs that I skip on this. I like every song on it. And there's one in particular we'll get to in a couple minutes that I think is very, very good and might be in my top 10 of McCartney solo material. Let's get right into it. The Beatles sounding My Brave Face, written, of course, with Elvis Costello. What did you think of this one?
It's a good song, but it's not one of my favorites.
It's very Beatly. You weren't kind of felt nostalgic listening to it?
Yeah, kind of, but not enough.
I think it's really well done. I think it's got some great harmonies. His voice sounds awesome. And I like the video, too. The video is all about somebody in Japan or China stealing his Hofner bass, and he... the whole video kind of goes on with him, the guy trying to sell it, and I think in the end, Paul gets it back. I think that's really cool, and it was kind of his first, as this is a comeback album, this is also a comeback video, because Press to Play's videos are not very memorable. I think this is a great song, and it's a great way to open the album. Rough Ride, number two, what'd you think of that?
I do like this song. I liked it when he performed it live, and I especially like, there's a version that he released on an EP, which is kind of more like the live version, where it's kind of stripped down. It's just basically the band without a lot of flourish to it, like overproduction that the album has. Even though I wouldn't say overproduction. It's just the single version is more stripped down, and I kind of like the single version better. But I do like this song.
Yeah, I like that that funky guitar at the very beginning. That's just really, really cool. And then the drums kick in.
Yep.
Yeah, this is a great song. And my only exposure to the live version is off Trippin' the Live. And I remember that being kind of a straight album version. So when you say the live version, are you referring to that version, or yeah. did you
no,
see?
No, well, I'm referring to the version that I heard at the Palace, which is pretty much the same as on Trippin' the Live. But the stripped-down studio version is on the 3-inch Figure of Eight single.
Oh, okay. So we might see that.
So there are three versions of this song. There's the album version, the Trippin' the Live version, and the single version.
Okay. So we might see that down the road on a remaster, maybe.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah, this is a really good song. And I recommend this song highly. Go check it out. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube, Uncle John. You Want Her Too, the first duet with Elvis Costello and Paul McCartney, and they're kind of going back and forth over a girl. Kind of reminds me of that Jackson song he did, but this is much better. What's the name of that Jackson song now? I can't even...
The Girl Is Mine?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, this is much better than that.
She makes me go.
What'd you think?
I'm not a big fan of this song either.
Why?
I don't know why. I kind of just don't like it. But I appreciate the fact that the collaboration between Elvis Costello and Paul McCartney kind of resurrected McCartney's interest in songwriting again. He said many times that it was like writing with John because they had such opposing viewpoints. And so I appreciate that, but I just really don't care for the song that much.
Oh, I like that ending part when it's kind of like got a big band feel all of a sudden at the end.
That is cool, especially because that's the only place where a big band shows up in this whole album. So it's kind of funny that they just kind of stuck it in at the end.
That's really cool. But I like how
like an Easter egg
voice intertwines with Elvis's voice. I think that's really cool too. I think it's sung well, and I just it's a fun song. I like it a lot, and I just added it to my Apple Music playlist, so that tells everybody something. I like this song a lot. Big thumbs up. Distractions, kind of a slow down song that has a lot of good instruments in it. Tell me what you think.
Yeah, last show I suggested that George Martin had a hand in the production of this album. And it was because of this song. And I was actually wrong in saying that George Martin had nothing to do with this album. Because I remember reading George Martin was saying Distractions was one of Paul's best songs, and he compared it to Yesterday, which I think is stretching it a bit. But and I thought because of that quote that George Martin might have orchestrated the album. I mean, this song. But he didn't even do that. So I really have no idea why George Martin had that quote in some magazine someplace. But anyway, besides that, I do like Distractions. It's not that much of a song, but it's got a nice sound, and I know that Paul was quite taken with his use of butterflies buzzing around his head. He really liked that lyric.
Yeah, that's
that
great.
He wrote himself. He was proud of himself for coming up with that. Even though I don't think butterflies buzz. Apart from that,
is there a clarinet in there? What is that?
Uh-huh. Yep.
That just sounds phenomenal. This song is right up there, in my opinion, with Wanderlust. I love this song. Is it as good as Yesterday? I don't know.
I wouldn't say that. I don't even think it's as good as Wanderlust.
Comparing Yesterday and this song is not fair, but I think as looking at it independently, it's a pretty darn good song, and it's definitely in my top 10 of McCartney songs. I don't know why. I've always loved it. I like his voice on it. He's got that falsetto part near the end. It's just awesome. And, you know, I just imagine him. He wrote this about Linda, and that's just kind of, it's just sweet. You know, what else can you say? It's just really cool. Big thumbs up on this one. I like this one. This one is probably my favorite song on the album.
Wow.
We Got Married, number 5. What'd you think?
I like this song, too. I like it even more because my brother, Mark, likes this song. He singled it out when he saw McCartney live back at the Palace. And so it's just cool that Paul sings positive songs about being married, because usually a singer would write about what a terrible marriage he has. So it's kind of cool that he's writing such a positive song.
Yeah, this song was written with the infamous David Foster, which I just found that out this morning. And, of course, he's worked with Celine Dion, and, you know, I'm not a big fan of her. He's worked a little bit with Michael Bublé. I am a fan of his, but overall, not a big David Foster fan, and I'm surprised that McCartney has him listed as a collaborator on this song. He didn't write it with him. This is produced by David Foster. This song is really cool, and there's that line where they get a flat, you know, and it's not just a loving machine, it doesn't work out if you don't work at it. It's just a great line, and it's that soul Paul right there, you know. This is just a beautiful song. This is also a very strong entry on this album. Number 6, put it there.
I just want to add that my brother's favorite part of the song, since you were talking about song lyrics, my brother's favorite part was, or favorite line, was scoring goals for the other team.
Yeah.
He really liked that idea.
That's good, too. Yeah, this is just, it's got a lot of really good lyrics, and we could recite them all right now, I'm sure, but I encourage everybody to go out there and check it out. This is a great song, and maybe even read the lyrics before you listen to it, because it's really, really good. Put it there, number 6. What you think?
I really like this song. I like the story behind it, too, because Paul said it's based on what his dad used to say. When he was greeting people, he'd stick out his hand and say, "Put it there if it weighs a ton." And so the song is like a tribute to his dad, which is cool. And it's a really nice song. I really like it.
Yeah, it's a great acoustic number, isn't it? And it's just so sweet. And, you know, I guess that's a reoccurring theme here. I don't even know if I like sweet things, but... this is just a great acoustic number, and it's got a lot of great lyrics. And you, like you said, it's got that father and son thing going on, which always pulls on my heartstrings. And you know, it's just a really good song. And I'm not sure what it reminds me of, but it is definitely kind of Beatles-y in a sense. There are a couple songs like that on this album. We've already heard "My Brave Face," so yeah, this is a great song. It's a good way to close side one back in the day, and now we flip it over and Figure of Eight comes up. What'd you think?
This my reaction is the same as with Rough Ride, because he re-recorded Figure of Eight for the 3-inch single, and it's a more stripped down version. And I wonder if these were like demos for the live show and he just decided to release them as alternate takes, because they do sound more like the band on stage. But I kind of like the single version more than the album version. But either way, I really like this song. And I also thought it was cool that this was the song that Paul used to start the concert.
Yeah.
It was kind of brave of him to start the show with a new song. And it's a good song. It's a good enough song to catch your attention and get you fired up for the rest of the show.
Yeah, it's a rocker. And the lyrics are good. Is it better to love one another than to give in to hate? And his voice just shreds on this song, and it reminds me of Helter Skelter in a much more mid-tempo song.
Yeah.
But he's phenomenal on this. Yeah, this is a great song. Big thumbs up for opening up side two. Now we go on to this one. What'd you think?
I like this song too. It's these three songs together are probably why I like this album so much, because I think these are three really strong songs. Put it there, Figure of Eight, in this one. Back to back to back. And I like the story behind this song, too, because it's all about taking advantage of the moment. There'll never be a better moment than this one.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. It's a nice thing to remember.
Yeah, did you ever take me in your arms, look me in the eye, and tell me that I'm the one, or something like that? It's such a great...
No, not yet. Oh, you meant the song lyric. Oh,
yeah, okay. Yeah. That's a great, something goes something like that. Such a great line. And this song also reminds me of, you know, Paul's relationship with Linda, who he's written so many songs about. But even in this late part of his career, he can still find things to say about his wife. And it's really nice and sad at the same time, because she's not with us anymore. This is a great song. And I remember the video being kind of trippy, reminding me of Beatles video back in the day when they were doing those promotional videos. This is a great song, and a lot of these songs deserve to be resurrected in concert. And he kind of just now dismisses a lot of his solo material because he doesn't think anybody wants to hear it, but there are fans out there, Paul, that do want to hear this stuff, and this album deserves a resurrection on tour. Number nine, Don't Be Careless Love. What'd you think? Another Elvis Costello writing credit on this one.
So don't be careless, don't be careless love. Don't be careless. In my dream, you're running away. Every step you take in turns the glue.
I don't know what it is with the Elvis Costello songs, but I don't care for this one either. And I think it's kind of forgettable, because I have to keep reminding myself what song this is.
Yeah, this one is, the lyrics escape me. Woke up, something in the paper, somebody was stabbed or something like that.
It sounds like you're doing Dana Life.
Yeah, but it's something like that. This song, I don't mind it. I don't skip it. I mean, like, I like it. But, I mean, it's not... Is it as good as the rest of the album? Of course not. I like it. It's definitely it's not album filler, in my opinion. Do you think it's album filler?
I'd be tempted.
Really?
I'd be tempted to say that. Have you heard the other songs that he wrote with Elvis Costello, the songs that are on Elvis Costello's album? Because I know they wrote like 5 songs, maybe, and they split them between 2 albums.
Really?
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the Elvis Costello album, though.
That must have come out at the same time, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think Paul shows up on that album, too.
Well, we got time. Let's look it up right now.
But I don't know what... I thought you would have known what those songs were.
Just give me a second here.
Like, maybe Elvis Costello got the better end of that deal. Even though you like the songs better than I do.
Boy, where is it? He's got a lot of records, man.
So what are we going to do about the CD singles and Trippin' the Live?
Well, I haven't heard a lot of the singles. I'm looking for you to help me out there.
Because I forgot that Trippin' the Live has some original stuff on it, too. It's not a straight live album.
Right.
So it seems like we should almost review that, too.
But
I didn't think of it in time. I just ripped Trippin' the Live this morning because I dug out my CD of it. Okay, they wrote 9 songs together, 8 of which have been bootlegged, 3 of which are on Flowers in the Dirt, and The Lovers That Never Were was recorded for Off the Ground.
That's a good song.
So Like Candy and Playboy to a Man appeared on Costello's 1991 album Mighty Like a Rose.
So did Paul just play on Spike then? Maybe he didn't write anything.
No, I thought they had a duet. I don't know if it's on Spike, but I thought that he actually not only played bass or whatever, bass guitar or whatever. The songs are The Lovers That Never Were, 25 Fingers, Tommy's Coming Home, So Like Candy, You Want Her Too, Playboy to a Man, Don't Be Careless Love, and My Brave Face.
Hmm.
Of these, Tommy's Coming Home and 25 Fingers remain unreleased. Flying to My Home is on the My Brave Face EP. And I guess I have to apologize to Elvis Costello because I like this song. It's the one Elvis Costello contribution that I do like, apparently, is Flying to My Home.
Yeah, I've heard of that song, and I think I might have heard it back in the day. Yeah, I need to get a hold of this. Where do you find these? Are these on YouTube, you think? These EP songs?
Can you hear it?
No.
Oh.
There we go. I like that.
I gotta turn that down. I'm gonna make myself deaf.
That's pretty good, though.
There we go.
So, how do you get a hold of these songs? Where we can find them at?
Well, you gotta buy them when they come out in 1989. That's my private collection you're listening to. That's not some Apple Music crap. I'm not streaming that. I own that.
I wonder if it's on YouTube.
Probably. What?
Yeah, I'll have to look. Yeah, I want to hear this stuff because there's a ton of tracks as we've talked in earlier shows and privately for Off the Ground.
Yeah, I was just going to point that out. I thought they were for Flowers in the Dirt, but they're actually
extremely good.
And we're talking over each
that
other.
That Day Is Done is another Elvis Costello and McCartney songwriting partnership. What'd you think of that one?
That's Elvis Costello because I don't remember that. I don't remember just saying that title.
Yeah, that's what it says here on the good computer.
Interesting.
I like it, though. What'd you think?
Yeah, it's a good song. It's kind of more dirge-like than I care for, but it's good. It's all right.
Yeah, I like the "That Day Is Done," and then the guitar comes in, and I like that whole part right there. The chorus is just really, really good. Yeah, I'm giving this a thumbs up. I really like this song a lot. I'm saying that a lot for this album because these two albums, as we've talked about, Flowers in the Dirt and Off the Ground, are kind of companion pieces, and they're both really, really good, and they also re-energized my love for Paul McCartney. You know, they're just really, really good. But when they came out, ironically, when this album came out, I did not embrace it immediately. But after repeat listening, listens to it, I fell in love with it. And, you know, just this album sticks with you. I think if you hear it a couple times, it's definitely going to stay with you. Yeah. How many people? Number
11. I think seeing them in concert, I think, really helped boost this album up for me. Because I kind of liked it when I got it, but then hearing the songs live, I think, really put it over the edge, and I really liked the album a lot more.
And this was back in the day when people used to tour for albums, and they used to play a lot of them live, and you would, after you had heard the album, you liked it, then you'd be sitting with a bunch of Fairweather fans who'd go grab a beer when the new stuff came on.
Yeah.
And you'd look at them and scream, "Why are you leaving now? This is good stuff," you know. And you know, all they wanted to hear was play "Hey Jude," Paul. You know, it's like the guy's written a lot of other songs besides "Hey Jude," and we're gonna sit here and we're gonna enjoy him, and we're gonna stand up every once in a while too. Mm. This album is featured heavily on Trippin' the Live, and it's good to hear, like we've talked about, it's good to hear him live. He doesn't do this "That Day Is Done" live, but does a lot of the other songs on here.
Well, actually, if you listen to Trippin' the Live, you can hear as the album begins that "That Day Is Done," the recording of "That Day Is Done," was the last song that they played over the PA before Paul came out on stage.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool too. Wasn't there a concert video done of a concert movie? I'm sorry, of the Flowers in the Dirt tour.
Yeah, it was called Get Back, wasn't it? Or was that just a documentary about the tour?
No, that's it. And who directed that? Richard Lester?
I don't know if it was Richard Lester. I was just reading up on Trippin' the Live while I was ripping the CD. I was also trying to remember the title of Trippin' the Live, because that was not when the album date was released, back when I was a subscriber to the International CD Exchange newsletter, way, 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 way back when, they announced the album title and the date, and then like the next issue, they had a revised announcement with the new title, Trippin' the Live, which I thought was a stupid title. Trippin' the Live, fantastic. And the revised release date or whatever. And now I can't remember what the original title was.
Get Back was directed by Richard Lester.
Okay, cool. Saves me the trouble of looking it up because I distracted myself with my story.
And the performances on here from the Flowers in the Dirt album are Rough Ride, Put It There, this one. And unfortunately, that's it. And he played a lot more of that album at the Palace shows that you saw than is on this movie.
Yeah.
It's only 92 minutes. It's not the full concert.
They also stripped down Trippin' the Live to a single CD. Trippin' the Live Fantastic Highlights.
Yeah, I remember that, which basically showcases a lot of the Beatles' work, yeah. I believe.
That's the edition that's available on Apple Music and Spotify, is the Highlights, not the original 2-CD set. Which is a shame, because the 2-CD set is packed wall-to-wall with stuff.
Oh, yeah.
These are full CDs, and so you're only getting half of it. 19 tracks on one album and 18 tracks on the other album. So, and there's, I don't know if I got this in the recording that we just did, but in between some of the live tracks are soundcheck stuff that they recorded, whether just noodling around. Sometimes they'd come up with an original jam, or Paul would sing an old-timey song just for the heck of it. And so they included that too. So it's a really nice package of the concert tour.
Yeah, it may be one of his best packages for live albums. It's just as good as Wings Over America. I don't know if it's better. I'm going to have to go back and listen to it now if we're going to do it for the show.
I also like how each track is recorded at a different concert.
Right. There's a Detroit entry in there.
Yeah, it's this one. The song This One.
Yeah.
And I compared it to my original cassette bootleg, and it is. It's the same version. They're not just saying that. They didn't just put that in the liner notes to make you think that they went through the hassle of going through every single show. But the version of this one on CD matches my cassette recording of the bootleg concert.
So let's get these last two songs out of the way, and then I want to ask you a couple questions about the Palace shows.
Okay.
If you can remember.
So what, that day is done, or it's how many people now?
Yeah, right? How many people? What'd you think?
Yeah, I like the song. I like the reggae feel to it. It kind of helps that. This is kind of a song that I would normally think of as skippable compared to the two before it, but I think the reggae sound to it helps a lot.
Yeah, this reminds me of this has got to be a Linda. Linda's in Paul's ear because, yeah, this definitely has a reggae feel. We already know she loves reggae music and introduced Paul to it in the 70s. And they did the Love is Strange off Wildlife. And, of course, you know, Band on the Run has some reggae feel. And that album has some of that sound in it, too. And she definitely turned him on to it. Yeah, this is a decent song. Not one of my favorites, but it's not skippable, so I do like it, though. Motor Love, this is McCartney's entry into true, full-fledged adult contemporary music. What'd you think?
It's got a good sound to it, nice production value. I like the vocals, the lush background vocals, but this is another song that's kind of skippable. It's too long.
Yeah, it is very long. 6 minutes. Yeah, but you know what? I just can't get over your love. I like the the lyrics are really good.
It sets a nice mood, but it's pretty long.
Yeah, I like it though. I encourage our audience to check it out. And that wraps up Flowers in the Dirt. So give me your ending remarks, and then I got a couple questions for you, and we'll get out of here.
That wraps up the album version, but the CD version
Correct.
Has an extra song on it. Or did you say that? You dropped out, so I don't know if you said that or not.
Yeah, tell me. I don't remember it. Is it that non-English song?
The French one, Où est le soleil.
Yeah. I skip that all the time, so tell me something about
it. Wow, this song is one of my favorites on the album. I just like the groove of it because there's not much to it. It's just that riff over and over, but I really like the groove.
Yeah, I don't think I uploaded that in my cloud transfer last year.
Wow.
Haven't heard that song in probably 20 years. So
there's a slightly longer version, too, with an extra 5 seconds to it on the Figure of Eight 3-inch EP.
So you're recommending this highly, huh?
I do like it. I do like it.
Give me the title again.
Où est le soleil? It means where is the sun?
Okay. Yeah, well...
Bon la tête.
I'm going to go back and try to rediscover it now. Like I said, it probably has been 20 plus years since I've heard it. Okay.
Here it comes. Come on, how can you not nod your head to that?
Yeah, the bass sounds good. I'll give you that. I'm looking up on Apple Music to see if that is available on their...
I would think so. It's on the CD. It's not like
it's
some
not.
Japanese track or something. Really?
It's not on their transfer.
Wow, that's just lame.
And Wikipedia does not mention it either, which is strange.
It was a bonus track on the CD.
Yeah. Well, it's on my CD. I have.
Why would they default to the LP release? That's so outdated.
It's very strange, that's why I didn't remember it. But
then there was a big box that came out with an exclusive one song only EP called Party Party.
I remember that one.
I got that. I bought the CD over again just to get Party Party. And that song is pretty much the same as Ooh Le Sole. It's just Paul saying Party Party all night long over and over.
Good song.
Party going on.
Good song or what?
It sounds like this.
Oh yeah. Now, I have heard that back in the day. So, let's talk briefly. This album, of course, as we've mentioned over and over again on this show, brought about a brand new world tour and definitely a big comeback tour for Paul McCartney. He hadn't toured extensively since the mid-70s, hadn't come to the States since the mid-70s. So you were at those one of two shows at the Palace. What was the feeling? What was the excitement like in the air before Paul took the stage, if you can remember?
I know my brother went, and his story was a pregnant woman by him puked. So they had to smell it for the rest of the show.
So you don't remember what the excitement level was like? I mean,
I'm sure it was huge.
I remember the lead.
Because he hadn't toured in a while.
Yeah, it was like 15 years or something, or 12 years or something.
So it was a big deal that it was finally coming out on stage. And it was probably, I mean, as soon as he hit his first... looking at the set list, it was probably the second song when he launched into Jet. That probably got everybody going. And then a couple songs later, they do Got to Get You Into My Life, and that probably really energized the crowd.
Yeah, I just remember that being such a big deal. He was all over the news. 48 Hours, which is an old news magazine on CBS, did a two-hour special on Paul and interviewed Paul extensively, and they interviewed Linda, and of course they asked Linda about did she break up the Beatles, and Linda got all pissed off about that, and they talked all about him coming back on the road, and they interviewed a bunch of fans, and this two-hour special is available on YouTube, so look up 48 Hours Paul McCartney, and it's got interviews with fans talking about, and these crazy women are just stalking McCartney in Chicago, and it's just hilarious. They're trying to get him to sign an album, and it's just very, very funny. But I remember back in the day being very taken with this, that Linda has a British accent, and I'm thinking to myself, I knew she was American, and now she has this British accent, and it was just, it's really funny. If you guys get a chance, or Mick should check this out too. It's 48 Hours, Paul McCartney. It's really, really good, and it's from 1989. And I remember that all the classic rock stations and a lot of the rock stations were just really hyping this 1989 stop, or 90, maybe it was 90 in Detroit. It was just huge. Two nights at the Palace, and it was on, I remember the 11 o'clock news was covering it, and it was just big. It was a huge deal. I mean, huge. And I unfortunately was not there. I was very, very upset about that.
I didn't remember that you did two shows, because I know I only went to one of them. I didn't know he did two.
I'm almost positive it was two because they sold out so fast. Yeah, it was just a big deal. Just a huge deal back in the day.
So it's kind of cool that the concert that's on Trippin' the Live is the same one I went to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's all I got this week. We covered a lot of stuff.
Well, after Flowers in the Dirt, they released the Party Party single. Then he released the My Brave Face EP. Then the Figure of Eight 5-inch EP. CD singles, I'm talking, since I didn't buy vinyl by this time. And then the Figure of Eight 3-inch EP. And then later on in the year, the day before John Lennon's birthday, Paul McCartney released the Birthday EP, which was to hype the live album, because these were all live versions of Birthday, Goodbye Sunshine, P.S. I Love You / Love Me Do together as a medley, and Let Him In.
Oh, that's cool too.
So yeah, these are cool because they're not on Trippin' the Live, so it's like a little bonus thing for Trippin' the Live, even though Trippin' the Live wasn't out yet. And then after Trippin' the Live, he released All My Trials EP, with All My Trials, Sea Moon, Mull of Kintyre, and Strawberry Fields Forever, Help, Give Peace a Chance medley.
Well, that's cool. There, you have that too?
Yes.
Well, that sounds awesome.
So that takes care of the Flowers in the Dirt era, and then we move on to the era where he's just releasing crap like crazy, because we got the Back in the USSR album that he recorded for Russian audiences only. That got released stateside.
Yeah.
And then the Unplugged bootleg that he did for MTV, the official bootleg, Unplugged MTV show, and they released the CD of it as a so-called, quote-unquote, the official bootleg. Then Liverpool Oratorio, and then he goes back into the studio for Off the Ground.
Well, what should we do next week, since we're talking about it? What should we do?
I kind of doubt that we want to do a full show for Liverpool Oratorio.
No, probably not.
Or do you have the Russian album?
No, but I think
the USSR album.
It's on Apple Music. Should we do that?
Yeah, I think we should combine all of those into one show. How about that?
That's fine.
Or do you just want to talk about them and get into Off the Ground?
No, we'll do next week. Let's talk about that rock and roll album.
Okay.
I'm looking it up now. Hold on a second.
Do you have Unplugged?
Yes. Yeah, I got that.
I would hope so. That's a good album.
That was a big deal back in the day. What's the name of it? Oh, here it is. It's available.
Choba BCCCP.
Yeah, this has got some good songs on it. Yeah, let's talk about this next week. This will be new for me. I've never heard it. It'll be fun.
I got the CD when it came out. It was recorded, I'm not sure, it was recorded in 88, and it came out in, like, 91, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Came out stateside.
So Unplugged is before Off the Ground or after Off the Ground?
It's before.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, we've got a couple of...
Yeah, Off the Ground came out in 93. I keep thinking that Off the Ground and Flowers in the Dirt were, like, back-to-back. But they're actually 4 years separating them.
Yeah, we've definitely got to do the Unplugged album. So let's plan on doing that rock and roll album next week. And then we'll get into Unplugged the following week. And then we'll tag on Liverpool, Ontario somewhere in the middle there.
Oratorio,
I'm sorry. Yeah, what would I do? See, that's what I need a co-host. You have to correct me.
I think you should. Have you ever heard Liverpool Oratorio?
No.
Wow, we should force you to listen to it, and you have to do a review of it. That's your homework.
Yeah, I do want to hear it, because...
I'm surprised you've never heard it.
We have the Fireman albums there in the middle, too, somewhere.
Yeah, 93 and 98. And yes, that's been requested. I've actually heard from one of our listeners that we should do the Fireman.
Okay, well, there it is. We have to, then. But we got a lot of work cut out for us in the fall. So wrapping up, what are your any recommendations this week, or stuff to listen to, watch on TV, read? You got anything?
I don't know if I have any TV recommendations. I do recommend that people check out Trippin' the Live Fantastic, hopefully the complete version. if you can find it someplace. Maybe it's on YouTube.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it is.
I don't know if video-wise it would be on YouTube, but audio-wise, maybe you can find the complete 2-CD set, because I recommend it a lot. I think it's great. And it's also a great package, too. It's got two booklets in it with really cool photography.
Yeah, I remember liking that, too, back in the day. Well, I guess for my side of recommendation I have, I'll just do a couple here quickly. Boston Legal with James Spader and William Shatner. I'm a big William Shatner fan, and this show we've just rediscovered recently on Netflix, and it's not only funny, but it's poignant and emotional. It's just runs the gambit of everything that's good about serialized television. And what else? Oh, The X-Files. The X-Files is still in the back of my head since the revival is coming up right around the corner. And speaking of that, Kumail Nanjiani is back on his podcast after we must have, in an alternate world, we're all hanging out together over this hiatus, because he's been gone just about as long as we have been gone. And now he's back with his X-Files Files podcast this past week, just released a new episode. And with that being said, one more thing before we go. The U2 guys have a new show out, too. Tell the name of that show, Mick.
You Talking U2 to Me.
Yes, and I haven't heard it yet, but that's another podcast that you guys should be listening to. It's hysterical. And I toyed with the idea of doing many episodes this week with you, but the show's running long, and I had so much stuff to say, I didn't even know how we'd bridge that gap to get into those jokes like they do on that show. But that show is not only hilarious, but it actually is a U2 podcast. But it's just very, very good. That's a great show to check out. And I think that's all I got right now.
Hey, you know, my TV recommendation is Comedy Bang Bang, since we're talking about Scott Aukerman's podcast, You Talking U2 to Me. He's got a TV show on IFC. It's called Comedy Bang Bang. It's on Thursdays at 10:30, I believe. And it's a great show, and more people need to watch it.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about it. And I think it's available on Hulu, so maybe I can check it out on Hulu. Doctor Who's coming back. When is Doctor Who coming back?
I don't know. I think it's in late September, but I really don't know.
And with that being said, I picked up a TARDIS coffee mug this week, and I've been enjoying all my cold and hot beverages in Doctor Who's police box. So check out Doctor Who on Hulu and Netflix. Another good show to check out. And I think that's all I got. So
email Jay and tell him to watch Firefly.
Yeah, I need to watch Firefly, yes.
Boston Legal. He's talking about Boston Legal. He completely flies over Firefly and watches Boston Legal.
Tell everybody where to find us, because we're back now. So.
I've forgotten. Don't we have a Facebook page or something?
It's like we do.
Long and Whiny, facebook.com/longandwhiny and twitter.com/longandwhiny. And our blog is at thelongandwhinyshow.com. And you can email us at podcast@thelongandwhinyshow.com. And when you do email us, tell Jay to watch Firefly.
All right. Next week, we're doing the rock and roll album. We'll check that out next week. So we got a big, big fall schedule coming up. So stick with us. We will be back on a normal schedule from here and out. Thanks for stopping by and listening to the show. And we'll be back next week. Take care.
Yay.
That was a good show.
That was an hour. My gosh.